If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John, Jake Gutierrez, Gary Dieter, Anthony Sherman, Jesse Newell, Todd Lebo, No Nate Bucati, NFL Draft, tonight, right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pretty Ricky, back on Twitter, says the Chiefs are taking a left tackle. Then I see a tweet from Ron Kopp Jr. that says the odds for position of Chiefs first drafted player have shifted over the last 2 days at DraftKings Sportsbook. On Tuesday, he checked, receiver was a favorite, minus 105, and O-tackle was second at plus 140. This morning, O-tackle the favorite at minus 120, and wide receiver is plus 120. What does Vegas know, Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star?
Well, they probably watched Brett Veach's press conference from last week.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. No, he just talked about the he likes the depth early on O-line, and then he likes up to top 50 when it comes to receivers. So I think if they have their druthers, they get an O-line early, they address that position with Pat, they get a long-term solution. We know after that Tampa Bay game that they're going to address offensive line with Pat, but I think if things fall their way, they want to get that early tackle, get it locked in, and then find another second-round receiver, which they've done in the past.
Okay, so does this make sense? If there's the right tackle, the right left tackle that falls, that if they trade up, it's for a left tackle. But if they can't find the right guy or they can't find a partner and they stay at 32, then it's more likely that they take the receiver. Or even, I'm with you, I don't want them to trade out. If they're going to trade out, then I'd stay there. But is that – they wouldn't be trading up for a receiver, or would they?
Well, the problem at 32 is that you're just so – everything's dictated by every team that's in front of you, you know? What if Brian Thomas falls to 23 or 24 or 25 and they just have him so high up on their board? You know, it just depends. You know, we know that Brett Veach is so aggressive when he goes up and gets his guy. I think you're right that they're more aggressive to get an O-lineman, but if the right receiver falls, I could see him saying it's time to go up and get him too, just because the Trent McDuffie thing is a perfect example.
Right.
Like, they did not go into any of those mock drafts in 2022 thinking, oh, Trent McDuffie's going to fall, you know, this far, and they're going to have a chance at him. But then he did, and he's high on their board, and you go, well, this is too good a value to just let him continue to fall. Something else interesting, guys, is that 22 through 27 are all NFC teams.
Thank you.
We talk about how the Chiefs sometimes have difficulty trading with the AFC teams, and then 28 is Buffalo.
They don't trade with nobody.
So if you're trying to leapfrog, we know Buffalo needs a receiver,
right,
just like they needed a cornerback.
Find out who they like
ago.
And steal them.
Well, if there's a guy that falls and you want him on your team rather than the Bills,
do you think Peter Schrager has good information?
I think yes.
Okay. So his final mock draft posted this morning, and he has the Chiefs moving up to 19 to take Amarius Mims. And I'm not as intrigued by where he has him moving up to. I wanted to see who he had them taking, and that's what I asked you earlier. I'm sure there's more than one, but like Alt's not going to be there. Everyone would love to see him get Alt. That's not going to happen. But what left tackle, in your opinion, do you think they're trying to target, or left tackles that might fall into the acceptable range for them to move up and grab? Like, that's why I wanted to see who he had them taking if they move up to 19 and his guy was Amarius Mims.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense with what Veach said. It's like one of those guys they wouldn't be able to get, but they would have a first-round grade on. You know, it makes you wonder what their board looks like, because like a Tyler Guyton, some people like him, some people say he's going to be in the late 20s. Is that a guy you can wait on and get there? I had him taking Sua Mataia from BYU, but, man, the people are all over the board on him. I don't know where he's going to go. I mean, I've seen people rank him 115th on their boards. I've seen him be a late first-round pick. So, again, BYU guy, we wonder the Andy Reid history, if that means anything, if they've gotten a little bit extra scout on him, that sort of thing. So I would not be surprised, obviously, if they trade up to get the tackle that they want. And Brett Veach sort of can't help himself in these press conferences. He usually gives you some good nuggets. And the nugget that I took away from that was if everything falls their way, they want to take a tackle early because they feel like the drop-off on the depth there is pretty severe after the first round, whereas they feel like pretty good in the second round that they can go and still get a receiver that they like. Maybe a guy like DeVontez Walker from North Carolina, targeting those sort of second-round guys like Rashee Rice last year that maybe the consensus isn't as high on, but they like a guy and they feel like they can turn him into something.
What questions do you two have for Jesse Newell?
Do you love watching the draft?
You know, the draft is good with the Chiefs because you guys have the amazing chefs in the building.
Surf and turf.
And they let us have the chef cook for us these 3 days, and they bring the food.
Oh, you guys go up to the building.
You'll be there from the start to the end.
Well, we're allowed in, you know, around 7 when the draft starts, but that's when food is served as well. So we have a lot of people that are very into the draft up at Chiefs because you guys is amazing chefs.
Where are you at in there? Where do you guys?
You guys know where the press conference room is. Yeah, and then they put the food kind of around the corner there. But yeah, they'll just let us watch on TV. But yeah, they feed us well. Because they feed you guys well. They did feed you guys well.
Used to. When you win, like, the bacon gets better every week. Remember that?
That's true.
Is that a true thing?
That's true.
100%. Oh, yeah. It used to start off pretty lousy. And then, like, you start winning some games.
You earned your
season.
Bacon.
Oh, the bacon at the end of the year, buddy. That used to be the best. Wake up in the morning, Sherm. Hey, Sherm, be there on time today. Like, don't be late.
It was never me being late if you haven't watched the show.
You get there early.
What else?
I would never be late there.
Elaborate, please.
No, he would never be late, but like I was always there before him.
You didn't need anyone to tell you to be on time.
No.
You were early.
Yeah. No, I'm there before the sun's up sometimes.
You're there and ready to go.
Yeah.
Was he?
He was always there. We'd always eat breakfast together.
Who did you have to worry about not being there on time?
Kelsey.
Mm. Yeah, Kelsey.
Yeah.
That's about it, probably. Yeah. Maybe a couple of Frank Clark, maybe.
Frank Clark late a little bit.
You can kind of pick and choose some of the D linemen every now and again.
Yeah.
I'd say D line would be the most worrisome group.
What happens if you're late?
Depends on what you're late for.
I've never been late, so I don't know. Okay. Pat got fined. Remember, he was late his rookie year?
When Kelsey took him out, he told that story
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, you get fined from coach, but if you miss special teams, then we're fining you.
You ever put an ass whipping on someone for being late?
Sure. No, I take their money, though.
Yeah, there you go.
They don't have that anymore, though. They don't have the enforcer.
No.
I wonder if they look for that in the draft this year. Any enforcers?
You were the enforcer.
Yeah.
Special teams enforcer, Anthony Sherman.
Yeah.
Anyone try to resist you ever? Like, I'm not giving you nothing. No.
No.
No, they knew better.
They knew better.
Well, Sherm would keep it to himself and spend it at the end of the season.
Anyone ever make a bet with you and then not follow through and say, hey, I'm going to show up at these games?
I never said I was going to show up.
Well, he said he had. I mean, that was the bet, though, right?
He never said he's going to show up.
I said I was, like, he's saying, you're saying I missed this Sunday. Yeah, I never told him I was going to be there that Sunday.
But you had to come because it was the bet was you had to come once a month.
And that was the last chance for this month.
It's not.
This weekend.
Yeah, it's still
but
this
what if
month.
It gets rained out?
That's on you.
How's that on me?
It's really on
it
God.
Was beautiful. It was beautiful.
That's on the Lord, Gary Lezak.
All right, so who are your top
receivers?
Five quarterbacks, ranked order.
Oh, God.
Yeah, quarterbacks? Rank your quarterbacks.
See, I mean, here's the thing. Like, Chiefs beat writer, you don't have to care about the quarterbacks, right?
I
mean, like, Brett Veach doesn't care about the quarterbacks either. But
will Caleb Williams be a top 10 quarterback next year?
Okay. All right, let's start there. Gary Dieter has declared that Caleb Williams will be a top 10 quarterback in the NFL next year.
Can I give my reasoning?
No.
I think he's going into a system that's going to be built for him. They have Keenan Allen. They have DJ Moore. What more could you need?
Offensive line.
It's sort of
running back.
CJ Stroudy, you know? It ended up being a good situation for him. I like Caleb Williams. I was telling you guys during the break that I covered that game when KU played one of its best games when I covered them, and they had Oklahoma on the ropes, and then Caleb Williams did some miracle, amazing play on fourth down that was just so heads up where he was about to get hit behind the line of scrimmage and somehow, like, Houdini'd the ball to his running back, handing it forward to him, and got a first down. I mean, like, KU potentially was going to win that game and have one of the biggest wins they'd had since I'd covered him in 13 years, and then a quarterback just made a play that was something I've never seen it before. I mean, I still don't know if it's legal. Like, he kind of handed it forward to the guy, and I don't know if
it was
it's,
a handoff. You remember
you have,
that?
You have to watch the replay. It was like a forward handoff
behind
after
the line of scrimmage.
No,
yeah, it was behind the line of scrimmage. He's about to get taken down.
Then it's fine.
Okay. Well, I mean, there was even some talk afterwards. Like, is this
they
a legal play?
Too, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, I mean, I think he's got that. I know Lebo was talking about the old fingernail polish. He had it on that game too against KU. So he's got some personality, but I think he's good. Top 10 is ambitious, but we say this so much. You guys talk about it. I mean, Mahomes ends up in a great situation in Kansas City. Like, what if the Bears had taken Mahomes back in the day? Like, again, what we don't know what that becomes. He's probably still good, but is he this? Is he what he is with Andy Reid and with this system? Probably not. So I think so much of this is just where you end up. And maybe we've seen the best of Bryce Young, but that seemed like a bad situation from the start. And so now you wonder how good this guy is. If he gets in a different system, would he be better? And so, yeah, the Bears, for having the number one pick, are in a good situation compared to so many others out there where you're like, oh, my gosh, they got the quarterback, but they really don't have anything else.
This draft reminds me a lot of 2021, right, where Trevor Lawrence went first overall, Zach Wilson went second overall, Trey Lance went third overall, and then Justin Fields went 11th, and, you know, Jones went to the Patriots at 15th. And you look at five of those guys, only one of them still with their original team. You know, I mean, that was that class was a complete bust, and it would not shock me. I mean, it kind of looked like that in 4 or 5 years from now.
I mean, if someone has done this, I have no idea. But like, how many, you know, second, third day draft picks have way longer careers than the first 32 picked?
Well, I think about when
obviously I know there's more players, but like
when the Redskins
better players
took
like
RG3.
Better quality players, tougher players, later rounds that make a really good career than all the hype and everything on these first 32.
I mean, when the Washington Redskins took RG3 in the first round, then they took Cousins in the third round.
I think fourth
round, yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, that played out. You know, who's still playing?
That's a stupid
late
question,
round,
Anthony.
Man. Late wow. rounds.
That's a stupid
late
question.
Rounds late rounds are where it's at.
I think that's where he wanted to get to, yeah.
Here's an interesting, I thought it was an interesting stat that I will steal from a tweet I just saw from Ron Kopp. And so if you saw it, you may have. In the Mahomes era, how many top 50 picks have the Chiefs spent on offense in the Mahomes era? How many top 50 picks?
50, that's where the tricky part
top
is.
Top 50. How many top 50 picks have the Chiefs spent on offense?
Clyde. That's
halfway through the first.
It's Clyde. It's Clyde, and that's it. It's just one.
Well, where's Creed taken?
That is it. Is it your guess?
Two.
Okay. Well,
I mean, second cool. round, but was it fifth?
Top
50?
I don't know.
I think Scott was like 54. Rasheed was around 50.
I'm going one. My
I'm
guess
going
is one.
Two.
It's a little bit of a cherry pick because it's cut off at 50.
I'm going to say two.
The answer is one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Damn it.
Oh, it feels good to be the best, boys.
Now, Rashee Rice was 55. Sky Moore is 54. Creed was 63.
Hey, when you know
McCall your stuff. McCall Hardman was 56.
When you know your stuff, baby.
You got lucky there, bro.
Yeah, right.
Technically, Orlando Brown was traded for a first-round pick.
Yeah.
So we could throw a little asterisk in there.
Right.
I mean, they got an
option. But that is interesting. Their high second-round picks and first-round picks have all been devoted to defense. And look, Trent McDuffie, fantastic. George Karlaftis, terrific. But a lot of picks have been, like Nick Bolton was 58. They haven't had a whole bunch of top 50 picks. Last year, it could have been a receiver. It could have been an offensive lineman, but they went with Felix Anudike Uzama. Remember, they had a top 50 pick. Breland Speaks was number 46, so that was not great. But you
Speaks,
know.
Yeah.
That was a bad one.
It feels good that I like knew who it was, too. Like,
you're happy with yourself, after
what else you guys want to know? You got any other questions?
So I'll ask you this. Give me the having an odds, percent chance, whatever, that the Chiefs take a defensive player in the first round tonight.
Well, not good, but again, like last year, I wouldn't have thought they were going to take Felix. And then things just sort of broke, I don't want to say wrong for them, but like there were guys that you figured they wanted and they wanted to take even up to 31. They kind of went right in front of them. And they know this. They're really good at knowing this over the Chiefs. But when you have Mahomes on this deal and you have Chris Jones on this deal and you have these big contracts, at the draft, you need surplus value. You need to get these positions that are hard for you to get in free agency or impossible for you to get in free agency because they're going to be cost you too much money. So, I mean, if it's just a huge run of receivers and offensive tackles and they cannot get up on the board to get that guy, I think it's your guy, Darius Robinson.
Let's go.
I mean, that is the most likely player outside of receiver and tackle just because if it fell to the Chiefs that way and those guys that they on their board they like just are not there, you go get the guy that you can put next to Chris Jones that potentially you can have for 4 or 5 years. And then, not only that, you don't have to pay $22 million for the guy next to Chris Jones or whatever it's going to cost on the market. And they really just have, you know, they brought their guys back from last year, but they just have not ever gotten that dominant force next to him. So I think that's the likeliest of the non-receiver offensive line guys for the Chiefs, but it would take a lot of things happening, and it would take probably the board falling the way that they don't want it to fall because we obviously know the needs that they have.
We have Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star in studio with Anthony Sherman and Gary Dieter, who just nailed the trivia question. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We have Gary Dieter and Anthony Sherman in studio with Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. Jesse, what is the likelihood, in your opinion, that the Chiefs do what Anthony Sherman doesn't want them to do and I don't want them to do? Trade out of the first round.
Yeah, listen, guys, I get it. I mean, like you said, you want to watch the first round of the draft. Don't want to sit there for 4 hours and then have the carpet pulled out from under you. But
Gary said he's going to watch every single second of the first round because he loves it so much.
Loves the draft.
Right.
Look, the Chiefs have that spot at 32. They don't know how things are going to go, but I talked with Sam McDowell about this on our Sports Beat KC podcast a couple days ago, and his thought was like the Chiefs can use the 32 to their advantage if there's a quarterback that falls and if there's a team that decides they're just a quarterback away. That fifth-year option for quarterbacks is a big deal because if you hit on the right guy, like a Lamar Jackson from a few years ago, and you get that fifth year, then that's worth a heck of a lot.
Serious question.
Was that right in the middle? Something.
Will there be a fullback drafted this year?
Oh, here we go. We need to turn to the expert on that one.
He doesn't know anything.
Okay.
Are there any fullbacks this year?
I'm not studying up high fullbacks. I mean, Sennett from K-State is a tight end, not a fullback. He can play some H-back type stuff.
That's what I said earlier.
Yeah. He's too big.
Listen, there'll be a fullback drafted. And then you buy me whatever jersey I want.
Yeah. It's going to be of that.
Well, this bet happened. I must have missed it.
That's literally what I said in the tweet.
No, you didn't say that. You said you'll buy me a jersey.
Yeah, of the fullback. What are you talking about?
Of the fullback, it said you'll buy me a jersey. So I get to pick what jersey you buy me.
It's got to be a draft pick this year.
All right.
Why would you not want the fullback's jersey?
I want it.
Our fullback's dead in the NFL.
I mean, Andy Reid's going away from him, so it's not dead, but you got to find the right guy. Sean Payton still likes him. You know, he took Bird.
Yeah.
Bird ends over there. You got to find the right guy.
There's guys out there.
Yeah. Well, I remember, like, I kept mocking the Chiefs when I thought they still were interested in fullbacks. Like, Hunter Luepke last year was, like, a North Dakota State guy.
I remember talking about him last year.
Yeah. But I just haven't heard as many this year. But part of that, again, is just the focus on the Chiefs. And now they've made it clear that no more fullbacks for them.
Sad, man. It's sad.
Who do you have the Chiefs taking in your mock draft?
Every pick.
Yeah, we
right
got
now.
It's like
all seven.
It's like roulette. You know, you do two mock drafts. You got to pick all different guys. Just cover the board, just so you bet 50.
The one,
but
the one
you win
you're most
12.
The one you're most confident with.
So the first one I did. Based off what Brett Veach said, and we all talked about this. I think they want to tackle. I think if everything goes their way, they get tackle. So I'll go Kingsley Suamataya. That's the one. And then probably the most confident. I mean, confident, who knows? It's the NFL draft. But I mentioned Devontae Walker earlier from North Carolina in the second round. I think that's the type of guy where they will like him more than other teams will like him. He's the top 50 type guy, and he probably will be available at 64. If not at 64, they do a small trade-up like they did last year to get Rashee Rice. But I think they would like to go O-line receiver, and then Walker fits the sort of speedy guy who's not at the top of the board, but because maybe another year in the draft he would be a first-round pick because this year's so deep at receiver. He's not quite there, but the Chiefs could fall in love with a guy like that and come back in the second round and still feel really good about the receiver that they got.
And so the McConkey thing, you think that's probably dead unless the Chiefs move out of the first round?
Look, when I talked to Sam a couple days ago, he loves McConkey for the Chiefs because they are so built on separation and being open. We know Pat's preferences. I mean, he's not a jump ball quarterback unless your name is Travis Kelce. You know what I mean? Like in the Super Bowl, we saw the video of him, you know, mic'd up saying, hey, I'm going to give you a chance, nobody else. He threw it to the corner of the end zone for Kelce because he trusts him. But the Chiefs, a lot of times, you know, we go back to their draft history. I did this a couple weeks ago of, like, what matters with certain positions and what doesn't matter. And receivers, they love the 10-yard split or the 40-yard dash. They love those quick twitch guys. And then height. Just the height does not matter as much for them. It doesn't because, again, it's either guys that are fast, that can get down the field, that can take away a safety so that you can work underneath with guys like Kelce and Rashee Rice, or it's just guys that create separation. But for McConkey, I would figure that they would need it would need to be something happening, or again, them trading out of the first round where maybe then you have two mid-round, second-round picks, or you're a mid-second-round pick and a late second-round pick, and he's kind of part of that equation. But like I said, Sam's pretty high on him and liking what he can do based off what the Chiefs like, which is we know Mahomes starts to the open guy, and McConkey would be a guy that could get open for sure.
All right, so let's talk about the trade-up scenario, and we think that would be for a left tackle. How far, realistically, do you think they'd be willing to trade up?
What did Schrager have? He had 19?
Yep. Like, when should we really start to lock in and start paying attention? Like, okay, if someone's falling, how far do they have to fall?
Yeah, that's... It's tricky. I think
it's a great question.
It's a great question, yeah, Steven. It's a great question. I think the Chiefs are so good.
Right.
The Chiefs are so good at remaining flexible. Like I said, 2 years ago, they didn't think they were going to take Trent McDuffie, but they just trust their board, and when he falls, they go up and they go get the guy. So if they love Mims, maybe they do with Schrager, then that guy is 18, 19, 20. If they love...
What would that take? Let's run through that.
Yeah.
Jake's got his chart, but we don't trust him.
I mean, up to 18, that'd be pretty healthy. That'd be costing you something next year. Jake?
Come on, Jake. Get your chart out. It's draft day.
Not a first, right? But like probably a third in this year and a second next year would be what I'd guess.
Has a coach ever been traded on draft day?
Has a coach ever been traded? You looking to trade a coach?
Yeah, where are you going?
Just looking at value. I'm looking at value. Right. I think the Chiefs have a lot of value on the coaching side.
Ah.
What? You never know.
They resigned those guys so that they could trade them. Like, here, Spags, here's your extension. You're getting traded for Amarius Mims.
You said a second and a third?
Probably. Well, you probably need to reach into next year.
Right.
But, I mean.
It doesn't matter where those picks are, so what are we looking at here?
The third round pick next year is the Titans pick.
So, I mean, it'd probably be in the middle, right? I mean, just guessing.
You know that's ammo to move up, so.
Yeah, that's all. That's what that is.
Right.
They will never pick that.
So you don't think the teens is out of the question? That's
I think the Chiefs are really true to their board. I think that if their grade on Mims is the eighth best guy that they have, you know, they don't do quarterbacks because why would you do quarterbacks? But if he's eighth and the top seven go in the top 10 and he falls to 18, they're looking real hard and they're saying, hey, this guy's worth it to go. And they need depth still at certain positions, but like that's the equation. And even Brad Beach was talking about this with us, is like, if you lock down left tackle, can you figure out receiver? Can you do something else creative? You talked about draft day trades. I mean, is there a potential to trade a late round pick for a receiver out there on a current roster that, you know, helps you fill in a gap?
I think if it's just that third, it's not going to get into the high teens. I think you might get into the early 20s with that third in your first.
I said a third I said a third this year and a second next year.
That was my smart math. That would definitely probably get you up. If it's a second,
be close.
It'll be, 270, 170, 590. Yeah, that'd probably get you to like 17.
Okay. Look at that off the top of my head.
Okay, here's a couple of offensive tackles that there's been some buzz about with the Chiefs. Tell me if this is, and maybe this isn't at 32. I don't know. Maybe it is. Is there anything to the smoke or the buzz around Roger Rosegarten out of Washington or Patrick Paul out of Houston?
I haven't heard as much about those guys. And again, Veach is pretty honest about these things. He said, I think they had 18 first-round grades, not counting quarterbacks. If those guys were on that list, I don't think he would tell us, unless he's just throwing a whole smokescreen, I don't think he would tell us that he was really high on the first round tackles and then have a random guy. Because then you'd say, hey, I feel good about the top two rounds of tackles. You know what I mean?
I've seen a couple of mock drafts with Rosegarten going 32, but that's kind of a little bit of a reach.
The Arizona kid, right? Morgan could be more in that sort of thing.
Yeah, and Patrick Paul from Houston, I've seen him more in the second round, but... Just names, like if the right guy doesn't fall.
Those would be the sort of like if you got your receiver first.
Right. And then get your receiver. So this scenario, it would include getting the receiver at 32 and then moving up in the second round for a tackle for one of those guys.
Potentially.
That could happen.
That could happen. And then you're just hoping that you can. Hoping you have enough picks
back
to fill
back
the
picks.
Depth.
So if they. But if they
draft. Back to back picks.
If they draft.
Last pick in the first round. First pick in the second round.
What's that's this? What you want.
Fantasy football, buddy? A little snake draft?
Yeah, come on, man.
Trade their third from next year. See ya. Give them their second.
So
move up.
If they draft, like even Mims, he's been described as a guy that's not ready to play, wouldn't be ready to play right away. So then if they, let's say they drafted Mims, or one of these guys, right? Then would they go with Mims or the rookie and Wanye Morris, and that's it? Or would they still maybe bring back Donovan Smith?
Depends on what Donovan Smith would want to do. But if I'm the Chiefs, look, it can be scary to throw a guy, a rookie, out there left tackle to start with. This is why your evaluations are so important. But Pat is so good at avoiding sacks. He's so good at it. And a lot of what Donovan Smith, I think, succeeded with last year, you guys talked about it earlier last hour. I think he had, you said, allowed two sacks all season. That was Pat, man. Like, he just has a sense and a feel for this thing. And you don't want to get him injured. And we all know the Bucs scenario in the Super Bowl where they just were, you know, one guy short to be able to have an offensive line. You felt good about it. But I think you just throw him out there. I think... We're all grading this on certain scales, and you guys talked about having a veteran next to him and Tooney would be so important. I agree. Even if he's not at full strength this next year, like, could he equate what the Chiefs got last year from Donovan Smith in his first year if you're moving up to get a guy in the draft? I think he can, and that guy's going to have some tools. You look at the hit rates over time of draft picks. Tackles bring back the most value, and if you get them in the first round, they usually do hit. So I think you let that guy sink or swim. You have Wanye Morris as your swing tackle. I think you can go from there and move forward with that. And again, a lot of that would be Donovan Smith's mindset. If you bring him in, he obviously knows that the potential there could be that he's not making the team at all if you're taking a tackle in the first round.
You know what? He'll protect that quarterback as a fullback. So,
yep.
We'll take a break. Back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the show. All right, let's cut to it. Who are the Chiefs going to draft? Just give us the name. Say the name. Attach yourself to it.
I'll take Kingsley.
Mm-hmm.
Put me down.
Put him down.
Book it.
Gary Dieter. Come on.
Ask Sherm first.
Sherm.
Trading out.
Trading out.
Trading out. You hated it, and now it's going to happen. Awesome. That's a great pick.
Gary Dieter.
I think they're going to draft Tory Taylor out of Iowa.
What are you talking about?
You guys know who that is? You know who that is? There you go, boys. You're welcome.
They're drafting a punter?
Yep.
I don't think so.
Jake Gutierrez.
First round punter.
Nate Clemens, cornerback from Clemson.
What?
Are you jacking around? Are you serious?
Yeah. If he drops to that spot,
what do you, you'd say something.
We're just throwing everything out there.
Just say something.
We'll be covered. Hey, we're going to be covered.
All right, like, okay. What is Clemens ranked? I'm flustered here.
Will there be a white defensive back drafted in the first round?
Yes. 100%.
Nate Wiggins from Clemson?
Yeah.
That's
your pick? Is that who I said?
No, that's not who you said. You said Nate Clemens.
You don't even know his name.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what is he talking about?
I put Clemson ahead of... Sorry.
Nate Clemson!
No.
Is that who you really want, Jake?
That's not who I want. I think they're going to take... I think there's going to be a corner that drops that's way valued.
Well, then at least make it Ennis Rakestraw and make me happy.
Okay,
good
then.
God.
Rakestraw.
Ridiculous.
But I think the corner from Clemson is going
I think I like Garrick's pick better.
Thank you.
Than a corner?
Get some respect around here.
Good job, Garrick.
Nate Wiggins is the guy I was...
What's his grade?
Yeah, where's he in these mock drafts?
Daniel Jeremiah has him going 30th to the Baltimore Ravens.
All right. That's what you like.
It's not what I like.
That's what you think.
That's what I think. I think that's
your opinion.
Right.
Yeah, no one can tell you your opinion's wrong.
I think they're going to look to move up. No one's going to move up with
your opinion's
them.
Terrible.
That's right, Sam.
There's not going to be a tackle that they want.
They're going to trade out.
And they're going to take Wiggins.
Trade out.
And then they're going to move up in the second round and draft a wide receiver.
So what do you
do? And then they're going to re-sign Donovan Smith.
So what do you do all day up until the draft? You just... keep watching everybody talk about it.
Keep watching. I'm actually going to... I'm heading over to Royals here.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
A little afternoon game?
They play today.
Yeah.
Going for the series win?
That's right. Yeah. Go to the clubhouse.
Ragans versus Berrios. Berrios 4-0 this year. Ragans 0-2 with the 4.53 ERA. What are you thinking?
Well, Ragans. I just had a tough last start.
Ragans.
Just had a tough last start. Other than his one where he blew up, he's been pretty good. So...
Blue Jays lineup's tough against lefties, I'll tell you that right now. Good luck.
I would like the Chiefs to draft Ladd McConkey or Darius Robinson, but they will not. So I will say they will draft a left tackle. Let's get cute. Trade up and get Mims.
I will give Jake $50 to the establishment of his choice if Nate Wiggins is the pick.
Ooh.
What about if it's a corner?
No,
that's
Nate Wiggins.
Specific. Kind.
I'll give you 20 if it's Enos Rakestraw. How about that?
Okay, that's a deal. I got those two guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a deal because you don't have to give anything in return. So of course it's a deal.
It's a good bet for Jay.
Yeah, it's like
I'll give you a 5 spot.
$50 to the establishment of your choice if it is Nate Wiggins or Nate Clemens either. If it's Nate, Clemens,
Nate Clemens, that'd be fantastic. I'd give you $1,000.
Yeah.
Gary Jeter, Anthony Sherman, thank you so much for getting up early with me.
Oh, thank you.
You guys are great. Thanks.
Nice work,
Jesse Newell. Thanks for enduring this unique draft analysis here.
We'll see what happens.
He's just like, I don't know. That's the Border Patrol NFL Draft Special. We apologize. See you tomorrow.